So as Eric mentioned, this morning's sermon is going to be on Ruth chapter 2, and it is titled Finding Refuge in God, as I continue through the book of Ruth. But before I get started, I would like to go to the Lord in prayer, so please join me. Dear Heavenly Father, I submit my words to you this morning and ask that they be your words. Thank you for your mercy and grace that allows us to know you and understand you and therefore desire to worship you. I ask that the message I deliver this morning would be honoring to you and edifying to the body of Christ. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, so it's been a couple of months since my last sermon, and it was covering Ruth chapter 1. So before I start, I figured I would go over maybe a little recap of what I covered last chapter. Elimelech and his family were introduced. His family consisting of his wife Naomi and his sons Mahlon and Chilion. And then adding to their family in the country of Moab, adding wives Orpah and Ruth to his sons. In that sermon, I spent time highlighting a series of choices made by each of them and the consequences of these choices, some good, some bad. The chapter was full of tragedy and loss, ending with only Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah being alive. Naomi and Ruth ended up heading to Bethlehem in Judah, and Orpah decided to stay in Moab, returning to her family. Naomi and Ruth returning together was the result of two of the most significant choices made in chapter 1. The first significant choice was the one Naomi made to return to the land of Judah. The reason, she heard that the famine was over in Judah and decided it would be best for her to return home. As the matriarch responsible for herself and at the time two other widows, she must have felt that the three of them would have done better in Judah. She was hoping for better circumstances in her life. She admitted that the tragedy of her life up to that point must have been a direct result of the Lord's hand, which, in her words, has gone out against her. There was likely an attitude of repentance driving her to return to the land of Israel, the land of God's people. And that brings us to the second significant choice, which was the one that Ruth made. Ruth decided to return with Naomi. Ruth chose loyalty to Naomi over her own family and homeland. More importantly, Naomi is choosing to serve Naomi's God. Ruth said, "Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." So given the choice and opportunity to return to her own way of life, Ruth instead chose to be part of the nation of Israel, the chosen people of the one true living God, and to serve the same. I mentioned last time also that the main theme seen more than once throughout the book of Ruth is that of redemption. We've talked a lot already about this morning about redemption. So let's discuss redemption a little bit more. The word is actually a financial metaphor that literally means to buy back. Theologically, it's used to indicate atonement, reconciliation, or salvation. As born-again believers, our redemption comes from Christ. He paid the ultimate price to save us from bondage. The blood of Christ was the ransom that was paid and that was used to free us from the bondage of sin, of death, of the law, and evil. Through Christ's redeeming actions, God's perfect plan for redemption is realized. In the time of Ruth, however, Christ has not yet been born. God's plan existed, Jesus existed, but the promised Savior of the world, who is to be born from a woman, live a perfect life, be sacrificed for no wrongdoing, rise from the dead, and return to the Father, all to pay the price required for our salvation, has not yet been introduced. However, God, in his infinite wisdom, He peppered the entire Old Testament with hints of what his plan for salvation would be, at the same time he was continuously redeeming Israel. There's foreshadowing of a Savior all throughout the Old Testament. The many, many, many times that Israel is saved by God from their enemies, and often from themselves, demonstrates that God is the source of their salvation. The book of Ruth is no exception. At the end of chapter 1, we saw a little bit of that redemption. We saw God intervene for the nation of Israel amidst a famine that was producing lots of strife, and by providing them with the grain that was what enticed Ruth to return home. There will be a few more examples that I'll cover in chapter 2. It is through the grace of God that we are redeemed, and it's through obedience to God that we find blessing. When we choose to serve God over man, that's what we're promised. The book of Ruth places a strong emphasis upon the sovereignty of God in the lives of his creation. Choices made, results that couldn't have been imagined. Through this chapter, we will see God's hand at work, and we'll witness his gracious provisions for those who choose to follow him, for those that seek refuge in God Almighty. So chapter 2 begins where the previous one ended. It's at the time of the barley harvest. The barley harvest was a prescribed period that started actually during the Passover and ended 7 weeks later with the Pentecost. It started with a ceremony giving thanks to God through prescribed sacrifices and ended with a feast known as the Feast of Weeks. During that time, landowners would hire workers to harvest the fields alongside their servants. It was hard work that started early in the morning and went often until late in the evening. In the fields, the process required cutting down the barley stalks, and this would have all been done by hand. It then required bundling the barley stalks together and then stacking the bundles of barley into sheaves in order to dry. From the field, the barley was taken to threshing floors, which were clear, hard surfaces where the barley grain would then be separated from the stalks. And that's just the a background of what the harvest entailed, which it plays a little bit out in this chapter to come. So starting with chapter 2 now, I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 3. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. So meet Boaz. Verse 1 starts with introducing the third main character in the book of Ruth, Boaz. He was a close relative of Elimelech and was known as a reputable man in Bethlehem. He was a worthy man, or a man of standing, as the NIV says, or a man of great wealth, the NASB says. The word used here to describe him is also used in the book of Judges to describe both Gideon and Jephthah, each of whom were called mighty warriors. Two noteworthy things important for us to know about Boaz, though. One is that he is a landowner, and the second thing is that, mentioned twice now and then the first three verses at serving as bookends, is that Boaz was from the clan of Elimelech. So after a quick introduction of Boaz in verse 1, verse 2 goes back to Ruth and Naomi. Realizing a need to provide for the two women, Ruth asked Naomi's permission to glean in a local field. So what is gleaning? In the book of Leviticus, specifically chapter 23, you can see it in verse 22. We learn a little bit of what gleaning is. And these were God's instructions to the nation of Israel as delivered to Moses. And this is what God said. "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So gleanings are the leftovers in the field after the first pass of the reapers. The gleanings were to be intentionally left behind so that the sojourners or the foreigners and the poor could be provided for. It was God's welfare system. Through this command to the farmers, God provided a means to provide for those without land. And this out of Deuteronomy chapter 24, and this is verses 19 through 22. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. So the meaning behind what God was doing, he wanted them not only to leave the gleanings behind, but in doing so, remember their time in Egypt when they were slaves themselves and the nation of Israel didn't own any land. God's instructions were to the farmers, but it was up to those in need that were actually in need that had to do the work to gather up the gleanings. Paul reminds us of that principle in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 when he says, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." Work was required to eat, and Ruth was willing to put in the work. She was also willing to risk danger. There was an element of risk Ruth was taking in gleaning in the local fields. Ruth remarks that she will need to find favor in the owner's sight. Unfortunately, just because God commanded it didn't mean that all the landowners would be obedient to God's word in leaving those gleanings behind. She may be chased away or even not allowed to glean. On top of that, there was a lack of morality that existed in Israel that prompted a warning from Naomi that we see at the end of this chapter concerning a risk of Ruth being assaulted while gleaning. Despite the risk, despite the hard work, Ruth was willing, and Naomi granted permission for Ruth to go. Ruth set out first thing in the morning to find a field to glean in. She happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz of the clan of Elimelech. Since Boaz was introduced at the beginning of this chapter, we know that it was not chance that led Ruth to this particular field. Ruth was being obedient to the means that God provided and was guided by grace to the exact field God intended to provide for her and Naomi from. So continuing with verses 4 through 7. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, 'She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, "Please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." So in those verses, we get a glimpse of the character of Boaz as he interacts with his hired workers, his servant, and then Ruth. What is revealed is a good leader and a godly and kind man. Demonstrating good leadership, he has come out of the fields come down to the fields in order to inspect what he expects. Visiting the field is a way for him to ensure that the work is happening as he expects. It's also the way he is interacting with his employees that reveals a good and kind leader. He takes the time to greet the hired workers as he sees them. Revealing his godly character, he wishes the Lord's blessing on them. Then we see Boaz move his attention to the foreman of the field, his servant. It's at that point he asks about an unfamiliar face amongst the gleaners in the field. The servant responded by telling Boaz who Ruth was. He tells him she is the Moabite woman associated with Naomi. Ruth's reputation is preceding her. The town knows of her, which speaks of the small circle that Naomi is part of, or the significance of her return to Judah, or it could be the standing of Boaz and that he and his servant knew of Ruth and what she had done in pledging loyalty to Naomi's people and the God of Israel. The foreman highlights some positive attributes of Ruth's character in describing her to Boaz. He points out that she was respectful, she asked permission to glean and gather, and he points out that she was a hard worker. She'd been working in the field all morning with only a short rest. Continuing with verses 8 through 13. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." Ruth's initial wishes came true. Back in verse 2, when she was asking for Naomi's blessing to go glean, she said this, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." It was favor of a field owner she was after, and it's favor that she received. Boaz encourages her to not only stay in his field and glean, but advises her to stay near his young women. Additionally, he warns the young men that he has working for him that they are not to touch her. Boaz was concerned for her safety and took measures to ensure that she was unharmed. Remember that during this particular time in Israel's existence, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. A point I made in my last sermon was what we learned through the book of Judges, which is the period of Ruth, the period of the Bible or of history that Ruth was in. And throughout the book of Judges, we're exposed to a very dark time in Israel's history that shows a repeating cycle of disobedience, oppression, repentance, and deliverance, is what I said. So 10 short years ago in our story, there was famine in the land. Israel was most likely in that oppression part of the cycle that would have immediately followed disobedience, or would have been followed by disobedience. And then we learned from Naomi in chapter 1 that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So here we see Israel moving into that phase of deliverance, being delivered by God, being redeemed by God with this very harvest that Ruth is taken part of. But as I said earlier, that doesn't mean that they were far removed from the evil that routinely was written about in Judges. If you want a reminder, you can read about the Levite and his concubine in Gibeah, and that's in Judges 19. The entire clan of Benjamin was nearly eliminated in that story because of the sin. My point is that God continually redeemed Israel because they continually needed redemption. God demonstrated endless grace and kindness to the nation of Israel in redeeming them, though they didn't deserve it. Do you wonder whether they learned anything or were learning anything in the nation of Israel? I often wonder that. Do you think they ever wondered whether the cycle would ever end? Do you think God may have been teaching them they were a nation that was in bondage to their sin, in need of a different redemption plan? In the meantime, it was important for them to have trust and faith in God and demonstrate that through obedience. And that's what Boaz did. He displayed kindness that was above and beyond what the Levitical law required of him. This behavior came to a surprise to Ruth, and she didn't understand it. She asked Boaz, as I read, "Why are you being so kind to me?" Boaz gave her three reasons for his kindness. First reason was for the loyalty and devotion that she showed to Naomi. It must have been the talk of the town, what Ruth did. In quote, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law has been fully told to me." It was a noble act of her to demonstrate that loyalty to Naomi. Her sacrifice must have been recognized. The second reason, Boaz recognized the sacrifice that Ruth made in order to stay devoted and loyal to Naomi. He noted that she left her father and mother and her native land and came to a people that she did not know before. The third and final reason, as mentioned earlier, Ruth didn't just decide to follow Naomi to Israel in hopes of a better life. She made it very clear to Naomi how she felt about coming to Israel. Recall the conversation she had with Naomi before leaving Moab. "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Naomi must have relayed the details of the conversation to the people of Bethlehem. That's how Boaz would have known about Ruth's desire to follow and seek refuge from God. Boaz prays the Lord will repay her and reward her for seeking refuge in God, "whose wings you have come to take refuge," he says. Those were not idle words from Boaz. He could have allowed Ruth to continue gleaning in the field, wished her the best, and went about his day. I'm sure he was a busy man. He didn't, though. He made sure that Ruth was rewarded and repaid for her decisions and actions. Ruth found favor in Boaz's eyes. She received his graciousness with gratitude, acknowledging that the kindness that Boaz demonstrated was unmerited. She says, "Though I am not one of your servants." A quick summary of where we are. There's a noble man of great character from the town of Bethlehem who showed grace and mercy to Ruth, the foreigner, showering her with kindness beyond what she deserves. A man that could and ends up being the redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. So if you missed it, there are many parallels here to Christ himself. A perfect man from Bethlehem who showed grace and mercy, paying the price for our sins, even though we didn't deserve it, redeeming us. Amen for that. Continuing with verses 14 through 17. "And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her.' So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." Boaz's kindness continues. He invited her to eat with him and the workers, and even provided her with some food. She was given enough food not only to satisfy herself, but then also to have leftovers. Continued kindness. Once she left to go back to work, Boaz gathers all of his workers and instructs them to let her glean from the sheaves and to intentionally leave behind stalks in order for her to gather. I wonder what others that witnessed Boaz's favoritism were thinking. So his orders were to the workers to not reproach her and not to rebuke her. Obviously, her actions, which were manipulated by Boaz himself, would normally deserve reproach and rebuke. Obedience to God's commands weren't commonplace in Israel at the time. I've talked about that. Boaz demonstrated grace and kindness above and beyond the law, setting an example for us to follow even to this day. This reminds me of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit in his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Ruth ended the day with an ephah of barley. That's about 50 pounds, approximately, of barley. It's a rather large amount of barley for one person to glean from the leftovers in the field. Of course, it was with significant help from Boaz and his men, but Ruth did pretty well that day. Boaz's prayer was answered in that Ruth was rewarded for what she had done. Continuing with verses 18 through 23. "And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.' And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead.' Naomi also said to her, 'The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers.' And Ruth the Moabite said, 'Besides, he said to me, You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you will be assaulted.' So she kept close to the young woman of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law." So at the end of the day, Ruth returned to Naomi and shared her leftovers with her, and showed her all the barley that she had gathered. From the day's results, Naomi recognized that someone must have took notice of her, and she wanted to know where Ruth worked. The man's name was Boaz, Ruth tells her. "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Recognizing who it was causes Naomi to recognize that Boaz's kindness was most likely a result of loyalty to his clan, both Elimelech, the dead, and Naomi, the living. The kindness shown to them was not kindness from a stranger, but kindness from a close relative who is also a kinsman redeemer. We'll discuss what a kinsman redeemer is in a future sermon, but the gist is that Boaz was eligible to redeem the land that was Elimelech's, and with it, marry Ruth. Could things be turning around for Naomi? Remember some of her words from chapter 1. "It is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" God was the source of her sorrow and sadness, and now he is the source of her hope and joy. Her and Ruth will be taken care of. for sure in the immediate future with all the grain that Ruth gathered, and possibly for the rest of their lives. The chapter ends with Ruth continuing to work for Boaz in his fields through the remainder of the harvest while continuing to live with Naomi. Naomi, as we're going to find out, had plans of her own, and that we will learn about that in the future chapters. So in this chapter, we've seen God at work using the loyalty and hard work of Ruth, along with the grace and abundant kindness of Boaz, to redeem the family of Elimelech. Through Ruth and Boaz, we have seen two noteworthy examples of righteous character: Ruth's humility and willingness to minister to the needs of her mother-in-law, and Boaz's kindness and sense of family loyalty in his treatment of the foreign woman in his field. We also saw Naomi's faith in God's care reassured, even though she believed earlier that her loss was due to God's discipline. She was convinced that God had not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead. In this story, we also see another truth displayed, and that is that God gives grace to the humble. From 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Are we willing to humble ourselves before God to receive the grace that is promised, even if that means doing hard work? My prayer is that the answer to that question is a resounding yes. We serve a mighty and a compassionate God who promises to care for us. We should, as Ruth did, desire to seek and find refuge in him. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, it is our joy to be the recipients of your mercy and grace. We praise you that your grace is undeserved. It is forgiving, it is transforming, and it is merciful. We praise you that your grace has appeared to us in the coming of your Son, bringing salvation to all who would look to Jesus in faith. Thank you for the effects of that saving grace in our lives, that it redeemed us from sin and death and turns us to righteousness and life. Thank you that it teaches us to say no to deceitful pleasures, sinful habits, and dishonorable attitudes, and in turn gives us the desire to live lives of integrity, freedom from sin, and Christ-honoring love. Teach us to be more like your Son, Jesus. May we live by every word that comes from you. May we worship and serve you alone, and may we trust you instead of testing you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.